You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
South Africa's push for substantial climate financing takes center stage at COP29, where the Environment Minister Dion George is calling for a massive increase from the original $100 billion to $1.3 trillion annually for developing nations. Minister George arguing this support is essential for South Africa and similar economies to transition to sustainable low-carbon development. The minister joins me first up on the program, and this is a very ambitious request. How do you arrive at that number?
Well, it's $1.3 trillion US that we are putting onto the table. And where that comes from is that we do have an existential crisis in the world. And that number is looking at a global number that we believe the developed economy countries should be contributing to the developing economy countries. And that comes from the Paris Agreement. Now, the Paris Agreement, which was negotiated way back, and the discussions there that subsequently came from that was that the developed economy countries would contribute $100 billion per annum. And that was always a voluntary contribution, although it became a commitment that they made. Then subsequently, that $100 billion was not paid. And that was conceded by the developed economy countries, who said that they did not actually reach that number. But then they subsequently did. And they said that last year they met that $100 billion. But there is no simple accounting standard. And also there was a lot of discussion on, well, there was money paid towards development, for example, that wasn't specifically climate related, but that was all accounted for. So the question that I raised as the new minister from South Africa was that, well, why isn't there a single spreadsheet? And I mean, why isn't there accounting standard? Well, there isn't one. So that's where the sort of debate came up. And we think that kind of debate isn't particularly healthy, because if we're spending a lot of time on debating on whether the $100 billion was paid or not, we're actually not focusing on the actual problem. And the actual problem is that we need to respond to this existential crisis. So what we have said is that there is going to be a negotiation on the NCQG, which is the new collective quantified goal. And that is basically the contribution that would be made by the developed economy countries. So when we looked at what we think would be a reasonable negotiation position to take, was that we looked at what is required to respond. You look at South Africa, you look at other developing economy nations, the number is in the region of at least $1 trillion per annum.
Right. Minister, let me ask you this. Given that there is contention over that $100 billion US, why do you think developed countries are then going to commit to a vastly larger target right now?
I think that it's more about having the conversation going in the right direction. So we've all agreed that if the developed economy countries have met that $100 billion, that's the one thing. The next thing we agree is that it's not enough money. We all agree that. Everybody does, even the developed economy countries. So we agree $100 billion isn't enough. There needs to be more investment in it. And that's when the conversation starts to get into the nut and the bolts. And that's basically to say there is an expectation that the developed economies would pay as they said they would pay. But we do know the reality of the situation, that many countries have taken a step to the right, so their electorates are less comfortable with contributing to other countries in their transitions. That's the one thing. And the other thing is we've got geopolitical tensions. So we believe it's very important that the conversation is had. Now, obviously, everybody says, let's be ambitious, specifically Germany. They say, let's be ambitious in our targets because we're setting the nationally determined contributions, you know, towards cutting back emissions, etc. So if we're going to be ambitious, well, then let's talk about how you pay for ambition, because ambition doesn't come for free.
Minister, let me suggest to you that is a very noble approach. But given the current economic pressures globally, surely this is not an opportune moment to push for such a recommitment or an increase.
Well, I think that, remember, it's an ongoing thing. So COP is every single year. So there's a lot of eyes now focused on COP 30, which is going to be in Brazil next year. And that's where the NDCs are going to be discussed and finalized. That's the nationally determined contributions, because each nation looks at what they can contribute towards making sure that we don't go over the 1.5 degree global warming number. So COP 30 is going to obviously be a continuation of COP 29, but we do believe it's important that that conversation is started, even if we're not able to get to an agreement. So, for example, my counterpart from Australia, Chris Bowen, he is one of the co-chairs for the NCQG stream. And basically, I mean, he's already indicated that it's pretty rough already. And we expect that to be the case, but you have to have the conversation.
Minister, I understand that you've got to have the conversation, but that is fundamentally the problem here, is that you're already talking about COP 30 when COP 29 hasn't happened. The world simply kicks the can up the road on this issue all the time with no resolution.
Yes, that is what has been happening to now, but that's the point I'm trying to make, is that if we do defer the conversation, so if we say, well, yes, we know that there's been a shift to the right, yes, we know countries are battling to pay this because economies are weak, etc., we're not going to go forward. And I think that's the crucial thing. So in COP 29, which is happening now, as you know, what we would like to walk away with is this, to say, right, we've conceded and agreed, everybody, that we've not done enough to mitigate the increase in emissions and to slow down the warming. So that's the one thing. Then we also agree that not enough money has been spent. Mm. Then we also have to agree is how do you crowd in then? So, for example, the private sector must get involved. We need climate resilient infrastructure investment, etc. The Minister of Finance mentioned that yesterday in the budget, the MTBPS, etc. So we know that we need to walk very firmly in a particular direction, but we need to break the cycle of running in the circle of saying, well, was this 100 billion spent or wasn't it? We've got to get beyond that conversation. Right. And I think that's the key thing. That's the South African position, is we're saying, look, let's not get stuck on whether you did or didn't, because there are some nations who like to be stuck in that position, because then we don't have to talk about the commitments. We don't have to talk about the action that you're going to take. Because remember, South Africa, as a sensible participant, we've got the Climate Change Act that the president has signed. It's not yet gazetted, but it will be shortly. I'm working on the targets. I'm working on sector emission targets. I'm looking at carbon budgets, etc. So South Africa is moving very swiftly in terms of getting legislation in place. Also, our just energy transition, we're moving on that with as much speed as we can. We know we're too slow, but we're speeding up. So from that position of being able to demonstrate our commitment, we're saying one of the complexities we have, obviously, is the financial stream. Yes, we've received money from the US, the UK, France, Germany. And the argument also has been is, look, if you've got money on the table and you haven't spent it, it's difficult to actually ask for more. And that's right. Obviously correct.
Minister Dion George, I'm going to leave it there. We are out of time, but I think you've sketched what is a very unique problem. And let's see how things pan out. I appreciate your time today. And thank you so much, Minister.